podcast. I am your host and best friend, Aurora. Today's episode is gonna be a good one. I posted on my Instagram stories yesterday asking for who you guys would want to have me have on the podcast to talk about having children young, and specifically the pressure that not everyone like has to have children young, obviously, because it was kind of a generational thing. And I think that a lot of that pressure in recent generations, like especially for us millennials, hasn't really been there to have children super young. I think our parents had that expectation maybe more than us. But for those of us that were raised religious, I think that, you know, pressure kind of is there. So I posted on my Instagram story saying like, hey, who do you guys want to have on to talk about this with me? Because I think it would be a good episode to have kind of a discussion about rather than me just talking it out to you guys. And I got about 36 replies to have my friend Sarah, the Burt's Papaya, back on to talk about it, because she also had children very young, but she was not raised religious like I was. And so I do think it would be an interesting perspective difference. So I texted her. We are going to have that episode probably this fall. She is a little bit further booked out than I am, but so that episode will be with her. But in the midst of that, I got a DM from one of my friends that was like, I would really love to hear you talk about your mental health journey, specifically in regards to having children, which is interesting because as I was reading that message and I was like, that's kind of a good idea of an episode to have, I was remembering all of the, honestly, dozens of DMs I've gotten over the last few years asking me about my experience having children really young and how that, you know, how I feel about that, how, whether or not I feel like I've given my, like my 20s away, like, and how that's affected areas of my mental health, specifically like with eating disorders and depression and stuff. So I thought, why not have a really not funny episode of the podcast today and tell you guys about my mental health journey and kind of where I'm at? Because I don't know, I know this is not a universal experience, but I think for me, over the last few years, I've seen a lot of people become way more open about mental health. And so because there doesn't really feel as much of a taboo in general to talk about your mental health, I do feel like I less often remember to talk about it. Does that make sense? Like, I know that it's important to talk about, and because I see other people talking about it, I don't really feel like I have a lot to like contribute to the conversation. And I'm not saying that necessarily all of my experiences are unique or that I have something to contribute to the conversation that maybe somebody else couldn't, but I don't know. It's kind of weird because I know this is going to sound like not conceited of me, but I sometimes forget that I have an audience on the internet. I sometimes forget that I have a lot of people looking at me, just because it's been this way for a few years and it hasn't really changed a lot. Well, I guess it has changed. Thank you, TikTok. But I don't know. I've forgotten how that is important for me to contribute to this conversation as well. So I don't really have any updates to share today, just because I got really right into this episode, so I guess we're really just getting into it. No update today. Today is going to be, again, like I said, a more like serious episode. But I was thinking back on, so if you are new to the podcast, I know recently I've gotten a lot of new listeners, but I used to have a co-host, and there were a lot of episodes that I did when I had that co-host that I felt like were really good episodes that I really liked, I enjoyed recording, and I think back of like fondly, like, oh yeah, that was a really good episode. But last year, I decided to make the decision to, well, so last year I made the decision to delete all of those old episodes of the podcast. And the honestly, the biggest reason for that is that knowing how I listen to podcasts when I find a new podcast, I go back and I listen to every single episode that I think could be interesting. Occasionally I'll skip over an episode, but I almost always go back and listen to all the episodes. And so because of that, I recognize that other people might do that too. And I didn't want people to find my podcast, decide that they really loved it the way that it used to be because that's what they listened first, and then decide that they don't like it as much when it's just me. Because that's a complaint I got when we split, when she decided she didn't want to do the podcast anymore. And so I wanted to be able to distance that from her and really have this be my own new podcast. And this has nothing to do with the podcast I once had with someone else. But there were a few episodes where we talked about mental health, and I feel like they were really important. They were really good episodes. And so I felt like when I got this DM yesterday, I was like, yeah, you know what? I do feel like it's a good time to kind of re-enter this conversation and like kind of share where I'm at and where I have been at. So specifically with children, I think that's kind of what I'm going to center my like today's episode on, rather than me just like giving you guys a laundry list of every mental illness I've ever had and how it affected me at what times. But I think I'll center it a little bit around having children so young. So again, for people who are new or just didn't know this about me, I am 26. And I had my first baby, Bastion, when I was 22, and my husband was 20. And then I had Rosen almost 2 years ago, so I would have been 24. I am done having children. I'm not going to have any more children ever again. I get way too sick when I'm pregnant to ever consider doing that again. But there's a really important aspect of what having children has done to me, like in myself, that is the biggest reason why I would not have any more children, and that is postpartum depression. So I don't want to say I've always had depression, but I definitely have spent quite a lot of years depressed. And in high school, I wouldn't say I was like that was my main issue. I had really bad anxiety all through high school and like middle school age and into college and to currently. really bad anxiety. But depression has been one of those things that comes and goes in waves, right? So I have definitely had really bad periods. You know, when I was like 13 was really rough, wasn't it for all of us? There is something really distinctly different, though, about the way that depression feels and the way that postpartum depression feels. So when I decided to get pregnant with Bastion, I was really excited. So before deciding to get pregnant, I was seeing a psychiatrist regularly, and I was on both an antidepressant and an anti-anxiety medication. And when I decided to try getting pregnant, I went off of them. Cold turkey. Really should not have done that, because what I should have done was gone to my psychiatrist and explained to them what I wanted to do, that I wanted to have kids. And they would have either switched me to medication that was safer or helped me get off of them in a better way. The good news is that despite how naive I was then, I was less naive for my second pregnancy. A few months after Bastion was born, I went back to a psychiatrist and I got back on antidepressants. And then when I got pregnant with Rosen, I just switched to a different one, because there are a lot of them that are okay for pregnancy and breastfeeding. And I also think, like, there are risks with any type of medication that you take when you are pregnant. Like, I mean, you can't take, I think it's Benadryl. You can't even take Benadryl when you're pregnant. Like, there's so many regular, just over-the-counter medications that you normally could, oh, it's not Benadryl, it's NyQuil. Okay. Anyway, there are so many things that you are not allowed to do or take when you are pregnant. But I think that the risk that comes with, at least for me, the antidepressants that I was on was worth it to me to be in a mental state where I could handle the changes of pregnancy. I feel like maybe I should not be recording this episode right now. I'm going to be super 100% blunt and honest with you guys. I was feeling really anxious and right before recording this and knew that this was the time that I had to record it. So I took a little hit of something and I'm feeling great now. However, I'm a little bit scatterbrained. Maybe I'll cut that out when I edit this, but I'm just hoping at this point that this all is coherent. Also, I have a really hard time telling stories linearly as a Pisces. I cannot tell a story without backtracking and embellishing and telling like additional points and stories that really don't have anything to do with the story, but I feel like it's necessary to include them. It's how I always have been. Seth thinks it's hilarious. So let's talk about postpartum depression. So it's hard. It really is hard to describe the difference between regular depression and postpartum depression. There is a very distinct difference, but it's hard to describe. You get all those same feelings of hopelessness that you get when you're depressed. You get some of those ideations. But it can also very easily turn into catastrophic thinking and paranoias and anxieties specifically around your baby. There's, on top of that, something that very often accompanies postpartum depression that a lot of people don't talk about is intrusive thoughts. And I know that that's not exclusive to postpartum depression. Intrusive thoughts are relatively normal for a lot of mental illnesses, but it was not something I had experienced to the level or degree that I've experienced when I was having postpartum depression. And I want to, before I like get into this a little bit more, want to clarify that I love my children a lot and I'm so grateful for them. And while I maybe would have, you know, if I could go back, I would choose to have them a little bit later in life. I don't have any regrets about having them or the way that I've lived my life, and also that they've always been safe. And I say that because when I have postpartum depression, and again, I know this is not just a me thing, that this is very common in postpartum depression. I don't want to say very common in postpartum depression, but I think a lot of women get postpartum depression more than you think, and I think, again, I can't speak for everyone, but I would say that probably the majority of them experience the kind of intrusive thoughts where you, it's hard to talk about intrusive thoughts without sounding, I don't know, it's a weird thing to talk about because obviously intrusive thoughts, first of all, are not your thoughts. They're not yours. They can be really disturbing and upsetting, but they're not your thoughts. And so with postpartum depression, you honestly get a lot of these like intrusive thoughts to kill your baby. I would never, ever hurt my baby. But it'll be instances of like you're holding them and your brain is like, you could just drop them right now. And then they die. And like, you should just drop him right now. And you're like, no, what the hell? I don't want to drop my baby. But your brain's like, but you could just drop your baby right now. And it's this weird... It's weird and it's really uncomfortable and it's scary because especially as someone who really had never experienced that type of intrusive thought before, it was really scary and it was really isolating and I felt scared to, not scared to be around my baby because I thought I would do anything to him, but scared because just scared because of those thoughts, you know, like, is this the kind of person I am? Am I a bad person? Like, am I going to hurt my baby because I'm having these thoughts? And going to therapy really helped me realize that I was not crazy and that those thoughts, while they're not good and they're not necessarily normal, and obviously, you know, there are things that you can do to try to lessen those as a symptom of postpartum depression, but that it's not, like, it doesn't mean you're a bad mom. So I had pretty bad postpartum depression after Bastion, and then was pretty depressed during my pregnancy with Rosen, and then I was doing okay for a little bit after Rosen was born, but then it got really, really bad. And then it got worse, and then it got worse. And then, of course, we were in a pandemic when I had a 6-month-old. And it just got worse and worse and worse for a long time. And I did not go back on medication for a long time. I did not go back on medication until pretty recently, actually. And it's not for a lack of wanting to. Honestly, it's always been a lack of, just a lack of doing it, like an actual lack of sitting down and scheduling the appointment that I know I need to schedule so I can get the help that I know that I need. It's just a matter of like a mental block. I only remember that I need to do it when I no longer have the option to do it. Does that make sense? Like, I forget that I need to call my psychiatrist until it's 7 o'clock or it's a Saturday. And then I forget when it's actually an appropriate time. So I distinctly remember a handful of days at the beginning of last year that were really, really rough, where I would be having my 2 children with me and we'd be sitting in our little apartment. That was such a mistake to move there. We should have just stayed in our house. And I just remember being in Bastion's room with my 2 kids and just sobbing. Just the absolute isolation that I felt as a young mom who none of my friends are really parents. I have a few friends that have kids, but most of my friends, and those are people that don't live very close to me, that I don't see very often. So I'm really alone in my immediate circle of friends, having children. And I know that I probably always will be somewhat, because even when my friends do start having children, there are going to be significant age gaps between our children, which is fine. But it's very isolating to feel like you don't have anyone that can relate to what you're going through. Isolating because my husband was working like 13-hour days. Not actually 13-hour days, but he, you know, with commute and stuff, he would leave before they woke up or right after the kids woke up, and then he would get home, you know, with like 30 minutes before bedtime. And then of course the pandemic started and that didn't help anything. And there were a lot of other things going on in my personal life at the time. But I just remember this specific day sitting on Bastion's floor and just sobbing. And I don't even remember what the kids were doing or what had triggered this, but I just sat there and I slammed my fist against the floor. And I was crying and I just said, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I texted Seth and I said, I cannot do this anymore. I need you to get home right now. And he was like, give me 30 minutes. Like, just be okay for 30 minutes. And I just sat there crying and crying and crying. And later this came back to bite me in the butt, because Bastion started hitting the floor with his fist and saying, I can't do this anymore, for a few weeks after. And it was a very painful reminder of a very low moment for me. Seth came home, stayed with the kids, and I just went and took a shower, and I sobbed on the floor, and I made him stay with me all day because I was not mentally in a place where I was able to keep myself safe, you know, where I just really wanted to completely give up and just, and I'm not trying to say that this is an experience exclusive to postpartum depression, but I think that there are some aspects of postpartum depression that really amplify in a way that doesn't, in my experience, pre-postpartum depression. Just those feelings of isolation and the mom guilt, and just there are so many aspects and everything's out of your control. And especially, I think, when you have multiple children, you know that phrase, it takes a village? I think, like, to raise children, it takes a village, right? I think I'm really jealous of people that have a village to help them raise their kids, right? People that live near family, people who have a lot of close friends and family members who help out with their kids. You know, a village can be daycare, a village can be babysitters, But really, truly, I think the biggest, like, the village can be so many things, but I really think that the fundamental, like, root of that is, like, friends and family nearby that help you raise your child, that are there to support you and to take your kids off your hands when you need to. And I have never had that as a parent. I have never had a village. We've never lived near my parents or Seth's parents. I don't live near any of my family. I, again, have never had any friends who are parents the same time as me that are living nearby me. I have truly had to go through parenting, mothering, not on my own because I have Seth, but completely isolated from other people and without people who understand my situation and what I'm going through and what I'm experiencing. And that's been really hard. I'm at a really, well, I wouldn't say I'm in a really good place right now, but I'm in a much better place than I was then. I would say now I just have normal depression again. So that's at least, that's at least good. I don't want to discourage anyone from having children for the sake of postpartum depression. And I would never want to like try to scare people away from that. Because I really love my children and they have made so many things in my life so much better and happier. And there are certain things in my life that feel much more meaningful than they did before I had children. And I want to say that this is not in the same sense that I don't want to scare anyone off from having children. I also want to say that you can't not feel that same fulfillment and wholeness without having children. I don't think that having children is the end all be all, like, absolute pinnacle of happiness or whatever. Like, I don't want to sound like that. I want to make sure that it's very clear that whether you have children or not, it's the same to me. But if you are someone that does want to have children, I don't want you to feel discouraged by postpartum depression. So mental health tips for postpartum depression would be that if you have a predisposition for depression or anxiety or OCD, making sure that before you get pregnant, if this is an option for you, making sure that you have a support system in place, whether that be family nearby that you know you can rely on for help, or making sure that you have a good therapist and psychiatrist beforehand and that you have an action plan. Having somebody that you can talk to and be open about what you're experiencing is going to be a game changer for you. The other aspect of mental health that I really wanted to talk about today is eating disorders. And again, specifically around pregnancies and parenthood. I know I mentioned in, I think, last week's episode that you, I think it was last, it was in the Hot Girl Summer episode, I talked about like never, like being in recovery from an eating disorder or whatever. So, hello, my name is Aurora McCausland. I have been anorexic for 13 years, which is a long time. I'm not like in a current active state of an eating disorder, but I still would not consider myself recovered. So this is kind of a trigger warning. I guess I probably should have put a trigger warning at the beginning of the episode, but this is your second trigger warning, I guess, because I'm going to talk about my eating disorder. So it developed when I was 13. I had a very strict idea of what my body should look like because of some pressures put on me. My dad was really obsessed with food and appearance and exercising. So at 13 years old, I started going to CrossFit 4 times a week. And I thought I was fat. And I I wish I could go back and hug her because, I mean, first of all, she really fucked me up. So if I could go back and change that, I would. But also because she had no idea what she was doing and she was just trying her best. However, that has led me to 13 years later, still struggling to fuel my body properly on a consistent basis because I am terrified of, you know, I won't even say it's terrified of not looking a certain way or looking a different way or anything like that, because an eating disorder is so often so many other things, and it's really not about image necessarily, although that can trigger my disordered eating habits. It's really so much about control. And so anytime I feel really out of control in my life, I do slip back into those bad habits. I have a really great therapist and a really great psychiatrist, and they keep tabs on me. Obviously, I don't want to scare anybody. I'm doing fine. But I would not say that I'm like fully recovered, like good to go. but I was at probably one of my worst points with my eating disorder when we decided we wanted to get pregnant with Bastion. So I'm not going to tell you how much I weighed. I was very underweight though. When we decided to get pregnant, I was so skinny. I have not been that skinny since, and I'm so grateful for that. I look back at photos of me then and I am terrified of how bad I got. But, because of that, I had two miscarriages. So the way that pregnancy works is that you, especially in the beginning of pregnancy, your own health and body is the priority to your body. And so a baby is essentially a parasite, right? Especially in those early, well, I mean, it is the whole time, but like, especially when it truly is not a baby and it's a clump of cells. If your body is having a hard time staying alive for any other reason, introducing a parasite essentially that is, or any other type of thing to your body that is not necessary for survival, your body's going to reject it. So it turns out that Seth and I are fertile mortals, and we got pregnant the very first month that we tried. And we were so excited. And then miscarried at 6 weeks pregnant. And it was really hard. My body just couldn't hold on to pregnancies. It just couldn't hold on to them. And it was really, really devastating and sad. Then I had a normal cycle. And then I got pregnant again. And I was so excited. Over the moon. We thought that the first time was a fluke. Everything was going to be fine. And then I miscarried about a week later. Again, really rough, hard time in our life. Even though they were both really early term, it was still really devastating to know that we had these babies and I lost them. And I want to also just interject really quickly, even though I'm literally crying, that I am pro-choice. Go abortion if that is what is right for you in that situation. I don't want to make it sound like, the thing is that what's different about it is unwanted versus wanted pregnancies. So I'm not going to get political about this. I just wanted to clarify. So it was really rough. And around that time, I recognized that I was creating an issue for myself, but I didn't really realize how bad it was until after the fact. So the next month we got pregnant again, and that is the pregnancy that turned out to be Bastion. So I had the two miscarriages, and then a very, very rough pregnancy with Bastion. When I'm pregnant, am sick the entire 9 months, vomiting multiple times a day, in and out of the ER, getting IVs, literally not able to hold anything down, losing weight in the beginning of my pregnancy, and then somehow managing to still have gained 50 pounds by the end of the pregnancy. My pregnancies are really rough. And so again, like I mentioned earlier, that's a big reason why I would never have another baby. That was really a wake-up call for me. Because I realized after that pregnancy that people who have eating disorders are much more likely to have hyperemesis, which is what I have when I'm pregnant, which is where you get really, really sick all the time. And it's because your body is not able to, and it can happen to other people who don't have it. But a cause of it could be eating disorders, because your body has a harder time having a store of, like a storage of, things baby needs to survive, right? Vitamins, minerals, fats, because in the first trimester, your baby, doesn't really get any nutrients from the food that you are currently eating. Because it's so small, the fetus really just gets its energy and nutrients and everything that it needs to grow from what's already in your body. So as you can imagine, if you don't really have very much in your body for your baby, then they are not going to grow. And it just makes you sick because they're pulling everything from you, and so you don't have enough. Again, little parasites. I love them. But after having Bastion, I wouldn't say that things were great for me, body image wise, eating disorder wise, but I definitely was better than I was before. And a big motivator for me was the fact that I knew that I was nourishing my baby from my body because I was breastfeeding. Now that I've had two children, I do recognize that I was possibly not producing enough for him. He was a really skinny baby, but some babies just are really skinny. And I was honestly, that time period between my two babies was not too bad. Like, I had a few bad periods in there that were not great for my eating, but for the most part, I would say it was relatively healthy. And then my pregnancy, super healthy, because I recognized that if there's this mental disconnect that I at least am able to make when I'm pregnant, that the food that I'm eating is not necessarily for my health, it's for my baby's health, and it's easier for me to motivate myself to eat that way. But after having Rosen, again, the postpartum depression, all the things that were going on in my personal life, things got really bad again with my eating disorder. And because of it, my milk dried up, and I had to stop breastfeeding Rosen, and he was underweight, he was malnourished. I didn't realize that my milk was drying up. And then when we did realize, and then got him on formula and he chunked up immediately, I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because I knew that it was my fault that he was not thriving, that it was my disordered eating habits that put him in that place. And he's healthy now and he's fine, and you know, and we're good, and I'm in a much better place now than I was at that point. Since then, you know, started going back to therapy, getting on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication really helps me, at least, because my therapist will not put me on a stimulant for my ADHD, because that could reduce my appetite, and you know, we don't want to encourage the eating disorder. So at this point, I'm not doing that. But anyway, that's kind of been my mental health journey. That's kind of where I'm at now. I'm at a place where I would consider myself mostly recovered. I would consider myself not as depressed as I used to be. I'm still someone who is constantly working on their relationship with their body, and I'm constantly working on improving my mental health and connecting with myself and finding new ways to work with the brain that I was given. Having kids, I think, really can, is the right word, exasperate, exacerbate? Look, I'm gonna cut that out. It makes it more heightened. The having children can heighten the mental illness you already have. And again, I'm not trying to discourage anyone from having children, because I think that if having children is something that you want, you can work through the mental health. And as your kids get older, it gets a lot easier. I mean, I'm at a point now where my bad days are rarely as bad as they used to be, and they are rarely as tied to my exhaustion due to motherhood as it is to just regular mental illness. You don't necessarily have to go off medication. Sometimes you can stay on the medication you're on. Otherwise, your psychiatrist will help you find one that they think will match your needs, that will also be safe for pregnancy. A lot of people that I know have continued to be medicated throughout pregnancy, and that's completely safe as long as it's something that your doctor is aware of, because there are just certain things that they'll want to watch for if that is the case. I think that the key to surviving, here's the thing. I saw a post on Instagram, I want to say it was last year, about how you're not a bad mom if you are feeling like angry all the time at your kids, or you're feeling overwhelmed, or you feel like you want to walk out of the house, or you feel like you never want to see your kids again, or you're feeling just so exhausted. Like, you don't need to feel guilty for that, because when that's happening, it's not because you're a bad mom. It's because there is probably another area of your life that is being neglected. Like, you're not being given the opportunity to see other adults. You're not being given the opportunity to have alone time. You're not being given the opportunity to exercise or have self-care. And self-care is not a shower, guys. Like, actually going out and like doing something for yourself. And especially last year, because of quarantine, a lot of moms did not get any of those. And so recognizing in those early months of motherhood what is most important for you to stay sane as a parent, like, what things on that list are the most important. Like, for me, in order for me, I don't necessarily need a lot of other adult time, but what I do need is time to work, right? I need time for me to focus on the things that are important to me. I never wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I am a career girl at heart. So making sure that I have adequate time away from my children to work is really important to me. And making sure that I have time to exercise and work my body is really important to me, and my mental health and my ability to be calm and patient and a nice mom during those other times. There's a lot that goes into making sure that your mental health is okay when you have children. And I don't necessarily think it's that much different than when you don't have children. There's just a different set of challenges. Like, you still have to make sure that you are putting effort into your, you know, I don't know, socializing, getting outside, moving your body, things like that, that can help your mental health. It's just different challenges when you have children, making sure that you have a babysitter, making sure that you find a way to like prioritize that time and get out of the house. So, this episode has been all over the place and really rambling. I will do my very best in post-production to make sure that this episode makes sense and is coherent. I just wanted a chance to be real with you guys and be honest about, guys, this last year and a half has been like absolute hell for, I know, not just me, for a lot of us. And I can really see the light at the end of the tunnel. I finally can. I can see that things are getting better. Things are opening up. I am healing so much from all of the shit that happened last year. And I just thought this was a really good opportunity and a good idea to really, I don't know, get everything out on the table, tell you guys what's going on, especially for all the new listeners, so they know what they're getting into and who I am. And I don't know, just a little bit about me. Anyway, please feel free to DM me any questions you have, any follow-ups you have. Maybe if I get enough DMs with like question follow-ups and stuff like that, we can do like an IGTV live, or sorry, those are two different things. I can do an IGTV or an Instagram live, or just a post, where I kind of answer all of your questions and stuff on Instagram. So, make sure that you go follow on Instagram at Your Best Friends Podcast at Aurora McCausland. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, nice things, because I am very soft and I cannot handle mean things being said to me. And yeah, just I appreciate you guys being a really great place for me to talk about these things. And I like am definitely nervous to hit publish on this in a few days, but also I know that I'm not alone, and I know that a lot of other people will benefit from just kind of having this really weird helter-skelter conversation about my mental health. So thank you guys for always being like real with me, and for, I don't know, anyway, whatever. I love you all. Good night.